And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and Dr. June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Hello and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministries with Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs here in Florida every Thursday evening at 6 to 6:30. And we are about to start a new set of teachings and cover the material that we often use overseas to teach our young leaders. So the material I'm going to go through for the next number of lectures on and off is the material that we use when we are in China, when we are in Serbia, when we're in other countries. Essentially, and often we have perhaps a weekend to train the new leaders so that they can at least function within the environment of a church, to lead a church. And in some places or some Asian countries, we actually, because of the persecution, rely on them more so than the main pastors, because our churches, due to persecution, have been forced to go into small study groups of 10 to 20 people. And as such, much more of the Bible teaching is done by these leaders than it is done by the pastor. So these are a set of different topics that we will do, that we will start with the Word of God and scientific evidence for the Word of God, and then we will go to other topics such as praise and worship, God's beginning, the fall, and everyone's choice, introduction of the law and introduction of grace, and the fear versus faith aspects to our faith, the church leadership, the communication model that we often use to train new leaders, church strategy development approaches, and other topics that we develop as we go along. Needless to say, this is going to be a multi-week, multi-episode approach to sharing the Word of God, and I think that probably the most appropriate way to start such an approach is to start with our anthem song, A Testify of Love by Avalon. And we will start with the Word of God and scientific rules and evidences to the Word of God after this.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out.
I'll be
Did you know that it is actually our job to testify of love? Now, who that love is we all know, that is really to testify of Jesus. But I love the words of this song, and this is why, in fact, our opening and closing sequences of this program use this song, and I have gotten written permission from Avalon Group to use it, because I really believe that their message is appropriate for today's world. I would like to start with the Word of God as it applies to an atheist. I used to be an atheist. My father was a communist. I used to think, and there was a time when I used to think that the churches should not exist, that there is no place for that, that is something from the days of the myths. There was a time when I used to think that church is just the opium of the masses. And if you heard that before, that is because Marx and Engels wrote that in the Communist Manifesto. My father was a communist. I loved communism at the time. And that's because I really didn't see anything in churches and religions. I had the opportunity to see how the priests of the church where I was born in, if you can be born in a church, how they behave and how their biggest emphasis is to get money. And I got to tell you, that was it for me. I was an atheist, and I don't know how many of you were actually atheists by your faith, if you will call that, because it is still a faith, a form of faith, not the kind that we ought to have. But nonetheless, I believed in evolution, and I believed in science. I studied science in my undergraduate. And so what happened is that as I started looking at evolution, I started finding out that there are some things about evolution that don't necessarily fit in. There are a lot of things about evolution that do fit in. There are things about genetic adaptations, mutations, natural selection. All of that that fits in seems to be in the present day. And I don't know if you're familiar with the scientific method, but scientific method teaches us that we have to come up with hypotheses, and then we design a test to test whether those hypotheses will hold or not, whether they are HO, that is, they do not hold, or HA, which is implying that they do hold. So as soon as I started looking at it, I found one problem with evolution theory, and that is when we start talking about how things came, that is essentially a guesswork. It is very difficult for us to set up whether it is a study that uses correlation, structural equation modeling, or whether a study that uses experimental approach, as they often use in psychology. It is very difficult to set up something that is going to go back in past and actually check what was done. And so when it comes to the past, I have a problem with evolution. In fact, if you take evolution as it is today and just put God as the creator, I have no problem with it. Many of the things that are discovered in evolution are actually correct. But again, they don't contradict with the fact that God made the earth. And so when I started looking at it, I started realizing some problems with it. For example, one aspect of evolution is that a given unlimited probabilities, your probability of any outcome is 100%. However, that is true for any single combination, whether it's molecular or otherwise. And so the problem there is a systems theory approach. Because even though you may have a chance of 100 given unlimited time of any one combination coming together, but that doesn't mean you'll set up a system. To give you an example, I can sit by the beach and throw sand up in the air unlimited number of times, but there is not much chance that I'll have a i7 processor come down, even though that processor is designed and made essentially from silicon. So I'm oversimplifying it, obviously, but nonetheless, there are some things that evolution cannot explain. They have to do with a systems theory. They have to do with how do we have the food chain and how did that all come into effect when even today we know, as we have learned through hard lessons here in Florida, if you interrupt the food chain that exists in nature, it's very sensitive and one small interruption will go a long ways to destabilize it. So if it is so easy to destabilize it, it's very hard for us to explain how it came in place, how it was set up in the first place. A good example here is the Burmese pythons that were brought in. You see how much you're destabilizing the ecosystem here in Florida. So then I came to a point where I started realizing that if there is some power out there, something that we may call God, that power would have to be intelligent because it has put together a series of different systems, whether we talk about the food chain that exists in the animal world, or perhaps we may talk about the water cycle system that we're still trying to figure out how exactly it forms. Whether we talk about hurricanes, whether we talk about weather systems, or whether we talk about why the glacier is withdrawing or going forward. There are many systems that exist, and I'm just talking about systems on Earth. Then we can talk about the universe and how it works and the black holes and everything else we suspect is out there. And we can see that things are fairly intense and do get fairly intense. So when we talk about it, if we accept that there is a power out there that is a higher power, as people call it, we also have to, by logic, by rules of logic, we have to accept that that power is more intelligent. Now, once we accept that that power is more intelligent, we actually have to also accept that intelligence and higher intelligence, as we can see in the animal world, which is the only guide that we have for it, the higher the intelligence, the higher amount of emotion that we notice in those species. So, for example, an alligator, which is generally assumed to be of low intelligence, would not have an emotion necessarily other than the instinctive ones. Nonetheless, when we start looking at the animal world, especially primates, we are going to see higher level of emotion. So it would only follow that if God is even more intelligent, or this force, this being that we talk about, therefore it only follows that he would also be a loving person and a person with emotion. Now, why I say loving person is because we also know that love and loving approach to things, a diplomatic approach, always overcomes, and it's stronger than hate and a negative passionate approach. So without me getting too much into this, it would follow that the more emotional we are, the more loving we become. So having said that, I remember going through this myself when my parents got converted and they became Christians, and I refused to become Christian, even though I was thinking about all this. And then a person, a gentleman who started a whole bunch of church denominations in former Yugoslavia, I believe he started the UPC, Pentecostal Assemblies, he started the Church of God, all in former Yugoslavia. And so he invited me to come to his home. And so I went to his home, and something strange happened there. I was sitting in his house, and I would notice that he would get up at 3 in the morning and pray till 7, but not in front of everybody. You really have to look for it to see it. He wasn't boasting or doing it to be seen. And then after that, when we would sit down, we would talk about the Bible. Somehow, that's the only thing he wanted to talk about. And so whenever I had a question, he started answering my questions. And I had another question, he started answering that question. And I had a third question, he started answering that question. And soon enough, I found out that somehow he knows my questions. So I asked him, I said, how come you seem to know which questions I have? And he actually told me, he said, you know, I have that gift. He said, that's a gift of discernment. Later on, I found it in the Bible. And so we talked a lot about the Bible, and he explained a lot of things to me. But the thing that really drew my attention is when he would come and pray for the people. Now, I don't know if you believe in this or not, but if the Bible says that, I believe it. That's the bottom line. And he would go and pray for the people, and people would be healed. This was a daily occurrence. He's now with the Lord, but I came to realize that when he was 28, and just give you a reference, he was 64 when I met him. I was 14 then. When he was 28, he actually has died and was dead for 8 hours. And then he came back to life. He died of some disease that attacked his lungs. I don't know if it was tuberculosis or something else. I would be guessing, so I'd rather not do that. But he said when he was dead that he heard a voice take him up, or felt something take him up, and heard a voice that said, oh, he's not done. He needs to go back. And the voice or person that or whoever it is that took him up, said, but his lungs are destroyed. And this voice that said originally he's not done said, okay, give him new lungs and send him back. And 8 hours later, after he died, he woke up. So he was dead for 8 hours. He was cold for 8 hours and he woke up. And when they checked, even Benavas over there, he said his lungs are still as good as new. So that goes to show you that there are some things that are happening out there. Whether we believe it or not is our business, but I mean, these things are happening. I also was fortunate to see one of the ladies that he prayed for who actually passed away. And when he prayed for her, she came back. She's still alive. I know she tried to get me married to her daughter. So definitely I know her very well. And I know that this was not something that in any way was made up because she attended my church. So you see, that was my experience where I came to realize that, no, I'm not as smart as I thought I am. And there is a power out there. But I found out I'm not the only one that had this kind of experience. In fact, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, especially from overseas, whose conversion tends to be a little bit more on the dynamic, a little bit more on the miraculous end than maybe what we have here, they will also tell you that they have experiences like that. I mean, I have a situation where we were supposed to drown with a boat, and I prayed, and I remember within 3 minutes, the water was so level, it was like a mirror. And how I remember is when I started praying, I looked at the clock. And then when I finished praying, and I heard actually a voice that said, look around, my eyes opened up on the clock. When I started praying, it was 700, you know, one of those digital clocks. I was young then. And when I finished, it was 703. And why this was important is my brother was with me, who is since passed away and gone to be with the Lord. And he actually was disabled in a wheelchair, and there is no way that I would be able to survive with him. So if the boat sank, he would not be able to swim, and I'd probably go down with him. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. So you see, things do happen. But one person that discovered this on his own is Ivan Panin. Very similar to my experience, Ivan Panin was an unbeliever, a mathematician, a scientist, very similar to what I am now and what Dr. June is. And he started looking at the numeric formations in the old writings. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but most of the old writings, such as Greek and Hebrew, their letters are also used like numbers. You may have seen this when we use Roman numerals. For example, X means 10, V means 5. That kind of idea. That actually has been the way that people in the past have written numbers. And so what happened is that he started looking at a different old texts, and he found that Bible was very unique. He found that whereas other texts written those times did not have any numeric combinations or correlations, the Bible seemed to have a numeric correlation to each book. Now, each book was written by, or many of the books are written by different authors over 1,500 years in different or from different cultural backgrounds, even though they were all Hebrew. Like you have Paul, who was born in Tarsus. You have others that Luke, who was a physician. In the Old Testament, you had the different ones. You had Moses, who was brought up in Egyptian courts in Egypt and trained by Egyptian standards. So when you look at all of it, nonetheless, he found, even Panin found, that the numeric combinations that can be extracted from those writings have a sequence that says the same story or uses the same kind of numeric system that would repeat and confirm what was said in the actual language. So this is rather interesting because he found out, for example, certain numbers tend to reoccur over and over in certain situations. And so this is something that's very interesting because he came to conclude that for a person to write one single book in a Bible, in his opinion, it would take about 1,000 years to put the words together in such a way that those words actually carry those numeric values. And so he became a Christian, even though he wasn't talked to, he wasn't harassed, he wasn't told, you know, you have to be a Christian or you go to hell. Seriously, when I hear people say that, that is the most ridiculous thing that people can say. You know, we are supposed to testify of love, testify to love. And I don't know where people get some of those ideas, but he didn't come across any of it. He was simply converted when he saw the power of the numeric sequence structures in the Bible. His work, all 50,000 pages, have been displayed in the National Museum of Sciences in Paris. So if you're ever in France, by all means, stop by and look at it. It's been displayed over there. See, what we have also, what I'm going to touch on, is we actually can see from the Bible that some of the things that have or are written in the Bible are very much ahead of the time that they were written in. And in fact, when you look at it in detail, you will see that it was not possible for a human to guess what was advanced scientific knowledge for the day that the Bible seems to display. Now, in the following episodes and programs, I'm going to talk about the scientific evidence that exists that seems to support very strongly that Bible was written by people who have been given knowledge, that is what we call inspired, by somebody or something that knew that, and of course we trust that that is God. And then we will focus also at Moses and medical evidence in his own writing, because it's such a tremendous element of science that's really written there, which Moses could not have known without divine help, especially considering that he was trained in all the Egyptian knowledge, and Egyptian medical knowledge at the time was effectively a bunch of superstitions and counterproductive practices that were used at the time. And then finally, we will talk about the Word and why every Christian does need to have good knowledge of the Word and be grounded in understanding the Bible itself. Now, as we approach the end of this program, I'm going to play the song by Darlene Zach, The Victor's Crown. And I'm inviting you to join me for the next program when we are going to dive into the scientific evidence and hopefully get through some of the Moses elements and why Moses and medicine seem to agree very well, even though that was counterintuitive at that time. And the third program, we will talk about the power of the Word and why it is so important for us. God bless you all.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.